Hello again. Hi, everybody. My name is Blythe. I am a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic. And I love you all. And I'm so glad you're here. And I am grateful to be abstinent today. Thank you, God. I want to apologize for all of you. Probably could tell my story. Didn't expect to be a speaker today. When I found out there was no speaker, I first called one of my sponsees. I said, "Could you speak in 15 minutes?" She goes, "I'm at a horse show." I'm like, "Okay, that won't work." Anyway, and then I got here and was asked to speak. And I'm really grateful. And then I got nervous. I know you guys. I love you guys. You are my family. And I'm looking at a couple of you I know very, very well, and you know who you are. And I haven't seen some of you in a while. So again, I'm apologizing that you have to listen to me. And that's my shit. That I have to apologize for being me. And I came here with that kind of a mentality, and I don't live by that today. I don't have to apologize for being me today. And if you don't like me, it's not my problem. But guess what? I want you to like me because that's this comes with this territory of being me. And being me today means I am a compulsive overeater. Even though I am a recovered compulsive overeater, I am still a compulsive overeater. It's like the alcoholic saying I'm an alcoholic. And to anybody who doesn't know about alcoholism, they would think I'm drinking. No, I could be an alcoholic and not be drinking. I could be a recovered alcoholic, but it will always be an alcoholic. And I believe I will always be a compulsive overeater. And I don't dare forget that because I either am in my disease, I am either in the food, and the big book tells me that if I'm in the food, I'm using food to blot out the consciousness of an intolerable situation in my head, or I'm accepting spiritual help. No middle of the road solutions. I've experienced it, I believe it, and I'm sharing it with you because if you find a better way, God bless you. But this, this was, I got here today. I'm grateful I got here. When I got here, I wasn't grateful. I was angry and full of self-pity and kicking and screaming, and I didn't want to be like you guys. And today I am so grateful I got here, and I am so grateful that something happened so that I became willing to do the things you were trying to tell me worked for you. So I come here, I don't have a trust in a God that's going to restore me to sanity with my food. Why, how would I have that? I have no evidence of it. I for the last when I got here, I was almost 40, and from the time I was like, I don't know, well, 14, I started my first diet. I discovered bulimia at 16, and I was either, and then it progressed into anorexia, drugs, alcohol, exercise, the whole. You know what I mean? Every day from the time I was 14, there was not a day that I was not a slave to this disease, but I didn't know it until I got here. So today, and I lost my train of thought, I'm not sure where I'm going with it, but it will come however it's supposed to come. I got here and, this disease took me way, way, way down. I thought I was fat, and let me just share with you real quickly, besides that I thought I was fat, I don't think I'm fat today. That's a great thing. Not that my head won't go there, but I can see the truth today. I went to my first OA meeting in June of 1988. And that was because I was in treatment and they took me to an OA meeting. And I had already been introduced to AA just for a very short time. And like I said, I was very angry and I didn't want to be here. I went to meetings for a year and I went home and I binged. And I went to meetings and I binged and I wasn't able to get abstinent. July 10th of 1989 was my first day of abstinence. I have been abstinent ever since. I don't tell you that because I don't want anybody to sit there and go, "Oh my God." Either I don't believe you Or, I what's wrong with me? I keep relapsing or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're all, I believe we're all the same. We have the same disease, but we have different paths. We have one solution and we have different paths that we go on. And if your story is about relapse, I put down the food and thank God. But I was crazy. Just because I put down the food, actually, I was, like I said, now I'm not blotting this out with food. So now I got all this craziness that I have to face that I didn't want to face, and I ate over. So just so you know that little background, I came in, I'm a newcomer, like some of you are here today, and welcome. And I will try to make this as clear as possible. It was like Chinese for me in the beginning, but I'm an old timer today. And I've been in a process. We get to be in a process. This is a process, a healing process. So from the time when I got here at almost 40, I'm 74, I've had like an opportunity to have two lifetimes. I had a lifetime of being in this disease, literally. Secrets, nobody knew. I was married, I had a child, I was a teacher. I looked on the outside like a normal person. I looked great on the outside as far as my life. Nice house, nice. Is Gary here? No, he's not here. He always wants me to talk about my husband, the doctor. I was married to a doctor. Anyway, all that superficial stuff that I was attached to and was supposed to make me happy. And it never did because happiness doesn't come from out there. It has to come from in here. And that's what these steps, this program does for me, is it shows me how to do that, how to live and find a God that isn't the God of vanity, the God of Louis Vuitton purses, the God of high heel shoes, the God of all of that stuff. You guys get it. And it's I still have to be honest with myself of, am I making this a God? And if I am, if I have attachments to anything like that, it could be dangerous for me. So okay, so I don't know I have an eating disorder. I don't know what's wrong with me. I know that I binge. I know that I purge, and nobody knows because I don't tell anybody. And inside, I'm miserable. And I have this like, I call it a job. I have this, can't think of the word. I'm a slave to this. I have to do things from the time I wake up until I go to bed. I have to get on my scale and see how much I weigh. I have to figure out when is my husband going to work, my daughter's going to school, where am I going to get my food, where's going to be the toilet, where's it, blah, 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 all that craziness that goes along with this illness. I wasn't aware of that while I was in it. I was just in it, and then at night it was like, got through the day, start over again tomorrow. Tonight I get now I get to say at night, thank you, God, for another day of abstinence and sobriety. I get to put my head on the pillow and I fall asleep and I can wake up in the morning and I can say, good morning, God. And well, I don't wake up in the morning anymore. I'm retired. I can say, good morning, God. And I immediately turn my will and my life over to God so that I'm not running the show, so that something other than me is running my life today, is managing my life. Abstinence isn't enough. I could be abstinent. I could be abstinent, make a mess of my life, and still not be able to manage my life. So I have to be abstinent. That's the beginning. I put the food down. That's not the end. And then I have to live a program. We have 12 steps. We have 36 principles, by the way. We have 12 steps. We have 12 traditions and we have 12 concepts. We have 36 principles to live by. I didn't live by principles. I lived by my principles. The only thing that was important to me was that I was skinny, that you liked me, that I looked good, all of that. Okay, so where am I going with this? Let me think. There must be a newcomer in this room. So I'm going to talk to the newcomer. And if you're not a newcomer, I know if you're like me, you need to hear things 50 million times. So I'm going to talk about it. There are some things we say in here. We say one day at a time. Okay, I live one day at a time. I don't think about tomorrow. I don't think about yesterday. When I got here, my head was spinning. How do you stay in the now? How do you just live in what, my head was spinning. Keep coming back, life. Keep coming back. Things got better. This too shall pass. I'm hysterical. I have a broken toenail. I'm going to commit suicide. Everything is big drama. I'm hysterical. This too shall pass. It's taken me time. I hear these things, and now today I get to know from experience that they are very real, important sayings, and I want to say they really work. They're really like true. They're truths. So when my head wants to go to a lie, because that's what insanity is, my head tells me lies. My disease tells me I don't have a disease. My head tells me lies, and then I make decisions based on the lie. So I need from you guys to hear one day at a time, this too shall pass. Keep coming back. Everything we read in the big book every day, this is a fabulous meeting. If you're new to this meeting, please keep coming back. I am telling you, I've been to a million, million, million meetings. This is a fabulous meeting, and I really mean it. And it's not just because you're all wonderful and great, even though you are. But this is, if there's something here, the spirit of the fellowship of the spirit. So I am all over the place. Anyway, I got to OA. I've been in OA. I've never stopped coming to OA. I've never stopped. I want to say that, like those of you, and I hear a lot of you say, I came and I left and I came and I left and I get it. Okay, that was your path. You don't need to leave anymore. There's no reason to leave. I don't think there's anything better out there, but my opinion. The point of my coming and never stopping, I think, has given me an experience beyond my wildest dreams. I could say my life's beyond my wildest dreams, not because I'm a millionaire, won the lottery, or this, or none of that, because my head's not in the toilet. Because I am not thinking about food, because I'm not thinking about my weight. All of that's why my life's beyond my wildest dreams. And that's what Roseanne said and wrote a book, Beyond My Wildest Dreams. Roseanne, our co-founder. So it's a miracle. And I don't want to take it for granted. And I'm easily could take things for granted because I've always been a spoiled brat. I have had this sense of entitlement. Don't you know who I am, or don't you know who I think I am? And I didn't ask to be born. I used to say that to my parents. I didn't ask to be born, so to go from that and to come here and to be humble, that's what these steps do. They humble us. I have an ego that is probably more challenging now than it was even when I first came in because I was so humbled. I lost my husband. I lost my daughter. I lost my home. I lost everything, including my body. I didn't die physically, but at my bottom, I was 79 pounds. Trust me, you don't want to be anorexic. If you're thinking you wish you were, please, you don't wish you were. I'm just going to say that. So I was 79 pounds. There was a man who was 700 pounds. We could tell the same story. Okay? It's not about the size of my body. It's about this, what's going on in here. And at 79 pounds, totally spiritually dead, wanting to die, I kept waking up. I just kept coming back to these rooms, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. And today, I keep coming back. I'm so grateful for Zoom. Yesterday, you saw that two of my girls were here. One does live in Florida, but one doesn't. And she came to visit. I met her for the first time in person. I hope that will happen with all of you. I see a couple of you who do live in Florida, and I know you, and I would love to hear from you. So what is it like? So I went through this whole grieving period, this whole process of really having to accept something this person said that really helped me. God doesn't close one door without opening another, but sometimes we have to be in a dark hallway. And I was in a dark hallway, and that really helped me because I was there for a long time. How could my husband leave me? Why all this stuff?
That's
I don't
5 minutes flight.
Thank you. I don't ask why today. I broke my hip just a few months ago. I didn't say why. I don't do that today. I've had challenges. I'm living with my mother. Some of you know she's 97. She has dementia. I don't want to be living here, but I'm here because this is where God wants me to be. And God gives me the strength and the courage, what I need to be here so I can be here for my mother. I actually started to share with you, you say, be careful what you pray for. I used to always say, God, please help me, show me how I can be helpful to my fellows and my friends. And then I'd say my family last. And then I started changing my prayers and I'd say, please show me how I could be helpful to my family, my fellows, and my friends. And now I'm living with my mother, taking care of my mother. I don't know, a coincidence? Anyway, so today I go to meetings every day. I sponsor a lot of women. I don't put a number on it. I don't say I have too many. I don't say I have too little. I put it in God's hands. God manages my life today. I put it in God's hands. If I'm honest with where I'm at and what I could offer, and they're honest with where they're at, it'll work. It'll either work that we can be together and work together, or it won't work. And we won't be together, but we could still be friends. So I have a way of living today that the rules that I never had before, that it seemed like everybody else had, how to live their lives. I know I always have answers because I can go to God and I can go to you and I could go to my husband who's recovered for 35 years. He's probably the last person I go to, though, with something, with most things. I go to my sponsor. I go to the steps. They told me in treatment I needed to get real, and I didn't know what that meant. Today, I get to be real. I get to be me. And I don't always know what that's like. Some days I'm like a queen, like I feel like I am now. Sometimes I'm calm, whatever. Some days I feel like I deserve the title of older, old timer, or long timer. Some days I feel like, say to my sponsor, oh my God, I feel like I'm just a big phony. What am I doing? Because I could still get into that doubting myself and all that other stuff. So being all over the place, I think I'm going to end with this. I just wanted, when you guys asked me to speak, I was like, oh, my story. Everybody knows my story. Not everybody knows my story. I don't know who the hell I think I am, but we talk about having a spiritual awakening. We say, if you do what we did, you too will have a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. For the longest time, I didn't know what people were talking about. I didn't know. People said, oh, I didn't work my steps today. Even after being in a while, I'd be like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Somebody would get up and tell their story and they'd go through the steps. And I'd be like, oh, good. Now they're going to go through this. Now I'm going to see what. Like, it took me the longest time to understand what people were saying when they were talking about living by the steps, having a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So, in the AA 12 and 12, Bill Wilson gives us a what I think is a fabulous definition of a spiritual awakening. And I want to read it because I didn't have a white light thing like Bill did. And actually, that was the beginning, I think, because, if we just have a white light experience and then we stop doing the program, I'll eat again. I don't think that's going to hold me. And I really believe the only reason Bill was able to not pick up that drink in the hotel, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask your sponsor, where he didn't pick up that drink in the hotel and he went and he met Dr. Bob and then AA started. And I think the only reason was not because he had a white light experience, but
That's
because
4 minutes, Blythe. So you have 1 minute more.
one minute, because he helped other alcoholics. Whether they got sober or not didn't matter. He helped other alcoholics and he didn't have to pick up a drink and he continued to help other alcoholics. I'm going to read this very quickly. I hope I can get it in a minute. It's so powerful to me. And when I realize that I have had this experience, and I promise every one of you can have this experience, why not? If I can have it, why not you? So this is what it tells me a spiritual awakening is. The most important meaning of it is that he or she has now become able to do, feel, and believe that which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. He has been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness and being. He has been set on a path which tells him he is really going somewhere and that life is not a dead end, not something to be endured or mastered. In a very real sense, he has been transformed because he has laid hold of a source of strength, which in one way or another he had hitherto denied himself. He finds himself in possession of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love of which he had thought himself quite incapable. What he has received is a free gift. And yet, usually, at least in some part, he has made himself ready to receive it. I'm going to end with that, guys. Thank you so much. I love you, love you, love you all. That's in the 12 and 12 and step 12 on page 106 and 107 if you want to read it. And I'll see you in a little while, and I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll see you the next day, and I'll see you for as many days as God needs me to be on this earth. Thank you.
Mwah. Right.